T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, a lot happening today. My word, Manny Machado, a 10-year deal, $300 million, we just told you in trending, from the San Diego Padres. Have all this stuff going on with Rob Gronkowski now after Drew Rosenhaus is talking about his other client, Antonio Brown, on NFL Live. Naturally, they ask him about Rob Gronkowski, and Drew Rosenhaus says that he's still contemplating his retirement, and he's going to figure this out in the next couple of weeks. We have everything going on with Chris Sale and the possible extension that John Henry alluded to the other day. But the thing that really is sticking out to me today is still this whole thing with Kyrie Irving, because this team, there is never a shortage of drama with the Boston Celtics. Brian Barrett with you for the next 4 hours or so. Number 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board, you can also tweet at me. I'm at It's Brian Barrett on Twitter. So this whole thing with Kyrie Irving, it happened before the All-Star break. He carried into the All-Star break. And we're still talking about the situation with Kyrie because he continues to make more drama where it doesn't need to exist. He continues to do this each and every week, it seems, with this team. So this All-Star break for Kyrie Irving, bad look for Kyrie Irving all around. So let's start about this thing. If you weren't sick of Kyrie Irving before the All-Star break, now you're definitely sick of Kyrie Irving. We've already had all this stuff where he's gone back and forth, if he's going to sign with the Celtics and whatnot. But how about the fact that on Sunday night in the All-Star game, I understand that Kyrie Irving wants to go out there for maybe 2-3 minutes. I would understand that, right? To say, all right, the fans voted me in, I'll go in there casually for a couple of minutes, and then I'll sit down the rest of the game. Okay, but what does Kyrie Irving do in that game? He plays 25 minutes. 25 minutes. The only two players, I believe, in that game in terms of Team LeBron, if you will, which another thing about the All-Star game, we got to do Team LeBron and Team Giannis. Unbelievable. We can't just have the East and the West anymore. It's going to be team this and team that. I understand trying to bring some intrigue into the game, but sorry, I'm not buying in because LeBron and Giannis are drafting players. Sorry, not into that whatsoever. But nonetheless, I digress. Getting back to Kyrie Irving, only LeBron, I believe, was the only player outside of Kyrie Irving that played more minutes than him. Maybe Kevin Durant was up there as well. But other than that, Kyrie Irving was one of the top five guys in minutes in that game. And this is the same Kyrie Irving. And remember, Danny Ainge did say it didn't bother him. He needs to get his win back or whatever the quote was. But think about this. This is the same Kyrie Irving that this Celtics team was completely struggling. A loss to the Lakers and a loss to the Clippers. And he ends up hurting his knee in that game against the Clippers. And I'm not saying that he didn't hurt his knee. But what irritates me is the fact that Kyrie Irving decides to go out and play in a meaningless All-Star game, an exhibition game, if you will, just because he wants to hang around with his friends. And if you think about what's been going on all this season with Kyrie Irving, this is what irritates me. It's not the fact that he missed the Pistons game and the 76ers game. It's the fact the other games he's missed this season. Remember, he's been dealing with this hip issue, if you will, throughout this season. And Kyrie Irving, oh, I'm going to go out there and I'll play against the Warriors on national TV. I'll play against the Lakers on national TV. But when you're playing the Hornets, when you're playing the Nets, when you're playing the Cavaliers, the hip's not good enough for any of those games. So there's been games this season where I guarantee you Kyrie Irving could have been able to go because they were hip maintenance days, whatever they want to call them. But then when he actually is hurt, when he's actually dealing with a knee injury and he misses a Pistons game and a Sixers game that are incredibly important to the team where they were after the two losses, Kyrie Irving doesn't play in those games, but he's good enough to play with his friends in the exhibition game. Think about how that looks to his teammates right now. They're going out there. They're trying to get this season back on track. I get they played pretty well before the break, but they had those awful losses to the Lakers and the Clippers. Yeah, I'm good enough to play with these guys, my friends in the All-Star game, but I'm not good enough to play with you guys. I'm not good enough. The knee's not good enough for that one. All right, and apparently he had his trainer there to make sure that he could play in that game. It just looks bad from the outside perspective. It's a bad look. Kyrie Irving doesn't understand these type of things. It looks bad that he's not playing for the Celtics and he's playing in the All-Star game. This is like a Carmelo Anthony move when he wasn't playing in games for the Knicks a couple of years ago and then he decided to play in the All-Star game because his friends were there. You want Kyrie Irving to be Carmelo Anthony? You know, like one of the most selfish players in the NBA? And that's what Kyrie Irving cares about. Kyrie Irving cares about the Kyrie Irving brand. That's what Kyrie Irving is all about. There's no other way around this. He's one of the most selfish athletes in the history of this town. That's the bottom line. I'm not fighting to play with you guys. in a game against the Pistons, in a game against the Sixers. But hey, if my friends are showing up, if my good buddy Kevin Durant and my old friend LeBron James, if all these guys are showing up, hey, you know what? I'm good to go. I'm ready to go for that game because that's when I can show off the Kyrie brand. I can show off my Kyrie sneakers and whatnot. All right? You think about it. If your guys like Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, how do you feel about this? You're trying to get this thing right. Gordon Hayward, you're trying to get this thing right in Boston. And clearly, there are issues right now with this Celtics team when Kyrie Irving is on the floor because there's two different offenses that the Celtics have. We saw the offense that exists when Kyrie Irving isn't there, like against the Pistons and the Sixers, and the offense when Kyrie Irving is there. And the offense when Kyrie Irving is there is he hijacks the offense. It's not exactly James Harden, but it's about 75% of James Harden, where it's Kyrie Irving is going to dominate the basketball and do whatever he wants. And we've heard multiple guys say this year, Terry Rozier on record said that all they do is sit around and watch Kyrie Irving try to go to work. That's what they do. So clearly there's an issue with the Kyrie offense melding or melting, if you will, with the Brad Stevens offense. They have not found a way yet to make those two things mesh. And it's funny that if you look at Kyrie Irving, why is it that all these players, all your teammates individually, they play better when you're not around? And it's not just like, okay, yeah, they get more shots, so they score more points. It's all the efficiency goes up and whatnot. Okay, if we look at some of the things the other day, we think about it, okay, Al Horford had two of his best games of the season against the Sixers and the Pistons. Al Horford had 18-7 against the Pistons, and he had 23 in that game against the 76ers. He was the best player on the floor in a game that also featured Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, two All-Stars, not to mention Jimmy Butler, a perennial All-Star, and Tobias Harris. He's the best player on the floor. And the offense was actually working. And oh, by the way, the defense, we know, is way better when Kyrie Irving's not on the floor. So he had his best games of the season, or two of his best four, if you will, with Al Horford. Gordon Hayward had two of his best, four games outside of the Minnesota Timberwolves games when Kyrie Irving wasn't there. Because they're running the offense through Hayward, and they're running the offense through Horford, and those guys are exceptional passers, much better passers than is Kyrie Irving, so they can diagnose what they want to do offensively and whatnot, and they're actually running Brad's system. It has to kill Brad Stevens trying to mesh this Kyrie thing in there, because clearly Kyrie Irving just is a ball stopper and it's not working. So Kyrie Irving should be doing everything he can to get on the floor with these guys to make sure that this offense can work long term. Because the reality of the situation with Kyrie Irving, they're 9-2 without you. And I'm not saying that you can win a championship without Kyrie. You're not making the same type of run without Kyrie. But what you need to work is the Kyrie dynamic to this offense to actually look good by the end of the season. So when you actually get into the postseason, you're rolling, because Kyrie's the missing element right now. If Kyrie Irving and this offense can mesh, then we're in a situation where you actually start to believe in the Boston Celtics again. And right now, nobody believes in the Celtics right now to beat the Bucks in the series or to beat the Raptors in the series the way that this offense has looked. Now, maybe you think, okay, Hayward's turned a corner, and maybe that's the case. Maybe the last two games were great for Gordon Hayward, and that will eventually get him going. Maybe that'll catapult his season. But we've said that too many times this year. I'm not willing to jump on the Gordon Hayward bandwagon just yet. Now, the other thing that happened with Kyrie Irving is we had this video surface where he's with Kevin Durant, and the video, apparently what lip readers are saying, is that Kyrie Irving's saying to Durant two max slots. Now, I'm sorry, I don't believe the video. I don't think that Kyrie Irving would be dumb enough to say that in front of reporters that are in the tunnel there, in front of a lot of people with cell phones. I don't think he would do that. If he was going to do that, I think he would do it in a hotel room with Kevin Durant, right? Because they're hanging out all weekend, maybe in a club with Kevin Durant over the weekend. I'm sure maybe they've had these conversations before, but I don't believe the video. But I guarantee you, though, the funny thing is, if it was about Kevin Durant coming to the Celtics, all Celtics fans would believe it, and they would all be saying, oh, you know what? Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are saying they're going to play together in Boston, right? That would be the situation if it was the other way around. But again, with Kyrie Irving, just the fact that a couple of weeks ago, he said, talk to me on July 1st, when he had already said prior with the season ticket holders that he was committing to them long term and he'll be there as long as you will have him. So Kyrie cares about Kyrie. He wants to create drama, because if you think about it now with Kyrie Irving knows that he has all the power in this situation. Kyrie Irving has a ton of power on the future of the Boston Celtics. And that's a power that Kyrie Irving is very aware that he has, because here's the reality of it. If Kyrie Irving doesn't sign his max contract with the Boston Celtics, 5 years, $188 million, which, oh, by the way, I do believe that Kyrie Irving will ultimately sign that contract, because I don't believe that Kyrie Irving has the stones to say, you know what, I'm going to pass on $49 million extra dollars right? Like Kevin Durant and LeBron James have done these things where they sign one-year deals with an opt-out at the end and they leave money on the table because those guys believe, okay, I'll make that up in the long run and whatnot. Kyrie Irving is a guy that has had multiple knee procedures. Remember a couple of years ago, missed the finals after game one against the Warriors because of a knee issue. The following year, misses most of that season with a knee issue. Last year, he misses the playoffs because of a knee issue. You think a guy that's had like three or four different knee issues throughout his career is going to say, you know what? I'm going to pass on a guaranteed extra $49 million. I don't believe that Kyrie Irving is going to do that. Okay, I really don't believe it. But the other thing is this that's irritating Kyrie Irving. I would imagine, knowing Kyrie Irving is as selfish as they come, knowing that Kyrie Irving, whenever things get tough, he wants to blame other people. He wants to blame the young guys and whatnot. He's done that throughout this season. We've seen it. Each and every week, it seems like he's got a new young guy that he's upset about. Multiple times, it's been Jaylen Brown. So there's that element to all this. So he's selfish, likes to blame the young guys. What I think it is Kyrie Irving's being a little bit of a crybaby and realizes, oh, I get the power. I'm going to flex my muscles. Because I still believe that Kyrie Irving is going to re-sign with the Celtics. But what is he doing? He's saying, okay, for the past 2 weeks, and now it's ended because the trade deadline is over. But I guess in a way, it's kind of opened back up because now Anthony Davis, who, by the way, that's a whole nother story. But Anthony Davis now says, I never said the Celtics weren't on my list. Well, Anthony, actually, Rich Paul kind of put that out there. But nonetheless, we know that you were behind it with Rich Paul, but maybe you will be open to a trade to the Celtics in the offseason. You also said 29 other teams are on my list, which is like, wait, so you're saying to the Pelicans, I'll play for anybody but you. That's how much I hate you. That's how much I think you are bad in terms of an organization. Okay. All right, Anthony. But nonetheless, Kyrie Irving knows this. All the attention was going on Anthony Davis the past couple of weeks. And after the trade deadline, we found out, oh, maybe Anthony Davis could be traded to Boston. Danny Ainge, we know he's really, really confident that, okay, if I get Anthony Davis in here, we're going to be able to recruit him to stay here. All right, and Kyrie Irving knows that the situation here is nothing's possible without him. Nothing's possible in terms of an Anthony Davis trade without Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving needs to sign that maximum contract, and then they can go out and they can get Anthony Davis. But Kyrie Irving, as petty as he's been throughout his NBA career, would anybody put it past Kyrie Irving that the reason that he said this thing at Madison Square Garden in front of reporters before the Knicks game where he said, talk to me on July 1st when it comes to my free agency, does anybody else believe that it would be below Kyrie Irving to just do this to get attention? Because he's saying, oh, now all the talk's about Anthony Davis. Now Anthony Davis is getting all the attention. And then he wants to stick it to Celtics fans, maybe. He wants to stick it to the national media. He wants attention for himself to say, hold on, none of this happens without me. So, yeah, you may think you're getting Anthony Davis because people are saying, oh, what would this team look like with Anthony Davis? Would you give up Jason Tatum and all that? And Kyrie Irving saying, hold on, I need some more attention over here. Remember me? I'm the guy that you guys traded, gave up Isaiah Thomas and a draft pick and whatnot, Jay Crowder. I'm the guy that you brought in here. This is supposed to be my team. And now we're talking about Anthony Davis coming in? No, hold on. You got to get back to me. You got to sign me first. So despite the fact that he said to the season ticket holders, I want to stay here, he wants to make sure that everybody can be reminded each and every week that, you know what? Kyrie Irving is a guy right now that you got to make sure you keep so you can get Anthony Davis. He wants to hold that over the organization's head. He wants to hold that over the players' heads. He wants to hold that over the fans' heads, where everybody has to please Kyrie Irving. Because if you don't please Kyrie Irving, then he's going to be upset and he's going to act in a way that doesn't look good for him, but he doesn't care because he wants attention. I just think this guy, right now, he's a damn headache. And I'll put up with LeBron drama because he's the engine behind championships. I'm fine with LeBron's drama because he ends up winning championships. Same thing with Kevin Durant. There's a lot of drama there, but you know what? He goes to the Warriors and he makes them essentially unbeatable the past couple of years. I'll deal with Kevin Durant, but I'm not going to deal with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is somebody that, what are they? Before the last two wins, oh, by the way, without Kyrie, what was this team? This was a team that was fifth in the Eastern Conference. They jumped up to fourth after they beat the Sixers without the almighty Kyrie Irving. So that's what you get with Kyrie Irving. You get the number four seed in the Eastern Conference right now, or really the number five seed in the Eastern Conference. Does anybody believe that this version of the Boston Celtics right now, as it's currently constructed, is going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks in a series? Is going to beat the Toronto Raptors in a series? Look at those teams. They have better star players. Kawhi Leonard is better than Kyrie Irving. He actually, you know what, is like a dominant player on defense. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't think we have to address that one. It's pretty clear that Giannis, who is one of the two front runners for MVP along with James Harden, and maybe you throw Paul George in there, but clearly Giannis is better than Kyrie Irving. So any of those series that you go into with the Raptors or the Bucks, guess what? You don't have the best player. And now the Sixers have some issues of their own in terms of gelling those personalities together. But even if you go into a series with the Sixers, your star player isn't the best player. Joel Embiid will be the best player on the floor. And I get last year, he wasn't great in the Celtics series, but Joel Embiid is a much better player this year than he was a season ago. So all three of those upper tier teams, if you will, in the Eastern Conference that the Celtics are in the group with, all those teams have a better superstar than you do. So unless the superstar is going to bring me championships and is going to be the reason I win championships, I'm not dealing with Kyrie Irving's crap. And that's why I look at it like Kyrie Irving, 5 years, $188 million. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that unless I know that I'm getting Anthony Davis. I don't want to have Kyrie Irving around with this team for five more years after this year if it's going to be Kyrie's team and Anthony Davis isn't here. Because I'm sorry, I'm going to move on. I'm going to try to build things around Jason Tatum. I'm going to try to build things around Jaylen Brown. And I'm going to try to build things around an Al Horford, who I get is aging, but has played better as of late. I'm going to build it around that team. And I know that Brad Stevens, when he's actually given the ability to coach an offense, when Kyrie's on the floor, he doesn't have that ability because it turns into the Kyrie offense. I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to say, all right, let's just roll out the ball and see what we can do with these young guys. And then, you know what, if we need to make a major move down the road, we can go ahead and do that. We have assets. If we really think, maybe Jalen's not here for the long haul, maybe we call up Washington and say, hey, I heard Bradley Beal may want to trade. Maybe we go after Bradley Beal. Maybe Jaylen Brown and a pick is good enough to get him. Damian Lillard, we know somebody that last year actually talked to the Portland Trailblazers about their situation. And now it's not like they're getting any better. He's going to be somebody that maybe next year is one of these guys like Anthony Davis this year that's asking for a trade. Okay, so I'm not in a place where if I'm the Boston Celtics, I'm giving Kyrie Irving that 5 years, $188 million in terms of an extension. I'm just not going to do it unless I know that Anthony Davis is coming here. And if Anthony Davis is coming here, I'm fine with it because we know this about Anthony Davis. He is a game changer. Anthony Davis can be the number one guy on a championship team. And I understand the fact that Anthony Davis does not have a postseason resume yet, if you will, but look at the team that he's played with. The second best player he's ever played with is Drew Holiday. But what you could get is essentially the Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett of this era. Now, I get that he hasn't won like Tim Duncan has. He hasn't had an MVP like Kevin Garnett had, but he is in that mold where he's averaging 29 points a game this season. Now, lately, he hasn't been the same player because he's on a minutes limit and all the drama that's gone on there in New Orleans. But you're telling me, okay, I can get, without question, a top 10 player, arguably a top 5 player in the NBA, and Kyrie Irving can go back to being what Kyrie Irving is. And that's the second banana. That's the Robin to the Batman. So if you're going to do that, fine. I'll put up with the crap with Kyrie Irving because I know this. Kyrie Irving is a second guy great. When he played with LeBron James, you asked Kyrie Irving to play one simple role. When we get into the playoffs, you're going to play in isolation sets all the time, and you're going to beat your guy off the dribble, and you're going to hit tough shots. We know Kyrie Irving can do that with the best of the guys in the NBA. We know that the Golden State Warriors, the best team of the past 4 to 5 years, have won 3 of the past 4 championships. We know they can't cover Kyrie Irving. He had 40-point games against them in the NBA Finals. So we know the Warriors, they can't cover Kyrie Irving. So I'm fine with it. If Kyrie Irving's going to be the number two guy and you got Anthony Davis, who's going to be the number one guy and he's going to be the face of your organization, we know Anthony Davis is not just a dominant offensive player. He's a dominant defensive player. And Kyrie Irving would be the piece that attracts Anthony Davis to ultimately come to Boston. Then, okay, let's do it. I'm totally on board with that. But anything other than that, the 5-year, $188 million for Kyrie Irving, not on board with that. And is anybody really excited to watch this team in the second half of the season? It's just so annoying that Kyrie Irving has to make this about him every day. And Kyrie Irving is the same guy that said he'd be pretty stupid to leave Boston. We have a lot of talent here. We have a great team here. And I just look at this team, and they are underachieving because of the way that they run this offense. And Kyrie Irving is supposed to be the guy that makes all these other players better. That's what superstars in the NBA do. And it doesn't seem like Kyrie Irving does that. He's more of an Allen Iverson type than he is somebody along the lines of Jason Kidd, who gets other players paid, by the way, as well. So that's what Kyrie Irving is. He's a guy that wants to play isolation basketball and whatnot. That's all well and good if you're the second guy on the team. But when you're the leader of this team, you have to be better than that. And when things are tough, okay, when things are tough with your team, you need to be in a situation where you're the one that takes accountability for some of this instead of just saying, oh, these young guys aren't ready. So-and-so isn't ready right now. What you need to do is you need to get these guys in a situation where they're rallying behind you. They're rallying behind Kyrie Irving. And instead, Kyrie Irving just wants to blame all the young guys. And then instead of showing loyalty to the other guys on his team, what does he do? He comes out and he says, talk to me on July 1st about free agency. Talk to me on July 1st about free agency. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Rob, who's in Hudson, New Hampshire. What's going on, Rob?
Hold on a second. Let me get you up.
We got you, Rob? Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I got you. What's going on?
I got it wrong.
Okay.
Kyrie's not the issue. When he's on the floor, Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier are hogging the ball because they want their minutes. We need to get rid of those two and get Anthony on the team. And we'll see what we can do next year. And Gordon Hayward, they should have kept him out this year and let him heal. He's still not right. That was a vicious injury he had.
Okay, but Rob, how do you put it into perspective that all these guys individually, look at the postseason last year, all these guys performed great. You look at the past couple of games, Hayward has his best, two out of his best four games of the season. Horford has two of his best 4 to 5 games of the season. Tatum is great in the 76ers game. And all these guys individually perform better without Kyrie Irving. How do you put that into perspective? How is Kyrie Irving making guys better? I don't see, like, who's been better.
When Kyrie's not on the court,
yeah,
they're not worried about getting their minutes. They got big heads from playing all last season when the other guys were hurt. And now they don't understand that they are bench players. And that's where they need to sit. You know,
yeah.
Brad Stevens needs to grow up center cojones.
Well, that is an issue too, Rob. Rob, that is an issue too, because he's never made a hierarchy with this team in terms of a pecking order. Like, who's the best player after Kyrie Irving? We don't know that. And that is true. These guys do not buy into their roles. And that is a good point, Rob. I appreciate the phone call, because if you look at it, remember, we've had situations where Jaylen Brown is talking before the season about he wants to win 5 championships and all this. So Jaylen Brown looks at himself as a star. Jason Tatum, after the postseason run that he made a year ago, he certainly looks at himself as a star, right? Terry Rozier, he doesn't want to be playing 13 less minutes per game than he was playing a season ago. He wants to be playing more minutes. So Brad Stevens, in terms of building up the roles with these guys, they're not on the same page. They're clearly not on the same page. I'm not saying that Brad Stevens doesn't deserve any blame for this, because he certainly does. He cannot manage the egos in his locker room either. Kyrie Irving is coming out and talking about his teammates all the time. Marcus Morris is the one that made the comments the other day about his teammates. So Brad Stevens, I'm telling you, in terms of managing egos, he doesn't know what he's doing right now. He's done a poor job coaching this year. Okay, when he is an underdog, he actually performs well, like in the postseason last year. And 2 years ago with Isaiah Thomas, he performs well. But when he's had to manage all these egos and have to fit these personalities together, he hasn't been able to mesh them. So Brad Stevens, yes, he's done a horrible job. But Kyrie Irving has been a bad leader for this team. He's made everybody uneasy about his future on the team, and he continues to throw guys under the bus. I don't want that from my franchise player. I want my franchise player to actually be a good leader and not throw everybody under the bus and then play in a meaningless All-Star game after he misses the last 2 games. I understand he couldn't play in the last 2 games because of the knee injury. Then why are you going out there in the All-Star game to play 25 minutes with your friends? That's the thing that really irritates me. You want to play 25 minutes with your old pal LeBron and play alongside Kevin Durant just because they're your friends and you want to market your brand and whatnot? I have an issue with that. That's a major problem, because there's games all season long where Kyrie Irving is talking about his hip issue and all this, and he's not good enough to go against Charlotte, doesn't play against Brooklyn, doesn't play against Cleveland. You tell me he couldn't fight through for one of those games, but he can play in the All-Star game? That's what really irritates me about Kyrie Irving. The leadership is just all over the place. It's horrible with Kyrie Irving. It's absolutely horrible. All right, a lot more to get into with the Celtics, including Jason Tatum. Some weird comments over the weekend as well. Plus, the Celtics' ratings are down. Also get into Chris Sale, a possible extension for him. Rob Gronkowski, talk of retirement. It's all on board here. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
So, you know, it's been a lot to manage, but we've come out, you know, pretty successful. Obviously not as successful as we would like to be. But, you know, that's just overall the attitude that you have to have in order to win this league. You know, you want to be the top team in the East. You want to be one of the top teams in the whole entire league. You know, have playoff position. You know, enjoy the regular season. You know, have fun. And at the end of the day, you know, I've also played another, you know, when I was in Cleveland in my beginning years, like, it wasn't fun every single day. Like, things happen within the locker room, and you just got to move on. And, you know, the maturity of young players understanding that, you know, it's just part of the business. You know, it's not college. Nobody's babying you. You guys aren't going to baby anybody. You're not going to hold back your tongue or your words. So, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. You know, the judgments outside don't really matter in terms of what you feel as yourself. Nobody's going to validate who I am anymore. I used to do it. I struggle with it. You know, just my mental is just really figuring out, like, how powerful words are and what they mean to me. And honestly, nobody could tell me who I'm going to be.
Oh, man, I can't take it anymore. I cannot take Kyrie Irving. 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable to me. Yeah, it was a lot tougher than we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season. Just fix it, Kyrie. How about just fix it? And he always has to allude to the fact, oh, I had struggles in Cleveland as well. And he always has to allude to the fact, oh, I won a championship in Cleveland. Yeah, we know. Congratulations on your championship ring. Congratulations on that, Kyrie. But you have to constantly remind everybody else on the team that you have a championship ring. You have to constantly say, oh, it's been such a struggle for me. Think about other NBA players in the league that would like to be in your situation. Okay? Think about Damian Lillard, who's playing with just CJ McCollum. Okay? Think about Kemba Walker. Look at the crap he's playing with in Charlotte. And all the time, we have to hear about you complaining about your situation. You have Jason Tatum, one of the best young players in the NBA. You have Jaylen Brown, a really good player, okay? And I understand he hasn't had the best year, but he was the number 3 overall pick. The guy's got a ton of talent. You have one of the best defensive players in the league in Marcus Smart. Al Horford has been a perennial all-star. Now I understand he's been dealing with injuries, but the last couple of games, he's looked really, really good. Marcus Morris is having a career season. There's a lot of guys in this league that would trade spots with you right now. How do you think Devin Booker would like to play for this team? Or don't you think he would? Devin Booker on the Celtics, don't you think he'd like that right now? To play on a team with all his talent around him instead of the crap he's playing with in Phoenix? So you make it out to be like you're this victim in all this, and these young guys don't understand what it takes to win a championship and all that. I'm sick and tired of hearing stuff like that. Instead, just help them. Maybe help them get to a level that makes them win a championship or gets them at least ready to win a championship. Because, sorry, Kyrie Irving, you're the star of this team. When the team underachieves, a lot of it goes on you. A lot of it goes on the star player. That's just what the NBA is. When the star player doesn't, or the star player's team, I should say, doesn't live up to the expectations, we look at the star player a lot of the times. And we even make excuses for the star player, like we have with Brad Stevens and whatnot, right? Saying that, oh, Brad Stevens got to manage egos better. That's certainly true, but that's also an excuse for Kyrie Irving. Okay, Kyrie Irving has to start wearing some of the blame. Kyrie Irving has to start taking some of the blame here to try to fix things. Get the offense right when you're on the court, because it seems like when you're not there, when they're running things through Hayward and Al Horford the other night, it looked pretty good. It looked like everybody was happy, okay? And I think Brad Stevens, secretly, he's never going to say this. He's never going to come out and say it, but I think he likes playing without you better than he does, because the team actually listens and the team actually runs the offense that Brad Stevens wants to run, not the Kyrie Irving offense where it's just everybody stand around and watch Kyrie Irving. All right, so I'm just sick and tired of this with Kyrie. And then, you know what, don't go out and say you're going to come back and then a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, say talk to me on July 1st. Okay, what has changed? The fact that you don't think these guys are playing as well as you want them to play? We'll get to a level where these guys are playing better. Help them get to that level instead of just constantly blaming them all the time. And do we have to be so drama-filled with everything that happens? Every loss with the Celtics becomes a story. It's tiresome. It's exhausting. We don't need it to be a national headline every time the Celtics lose a game. Other teams lose in the NBA, and it's not a huge story, but with the Celtics, there's always something. Kyrie says something. A couple weeks ago, is Marcus Morris saying something? Can this team just lose a game? And that's all it is. It's just a loss. It's because of the expectations this team has built up and all the distractions that have come with it because of Kyrie Irving continuing to be a distraction with this team. Now, one other guy over the All-Star weekend that didn't really have a good weekend was Jason Tatum, okay? This is what Jason Tatum says at the All-Star festivities. Naturally, he's asked about the trade situation because, of course, he's the main piece that would be in that Anthony Davis trade this summer if it does eventually happen. He said this: you start to understand that this is a business. I play basketball, and I've just got to control what I can control. And I love being on the Celtics. I want to play there my whole career. So he's saying, I want to play with the Celtics my whole career. Now, remember, this comes after the report last week that he said, or apparently there was a report, that Jason Tatum would like to be the face of the Pelicans. He would like to be the face of another organization. So I don't believe the quote whatsoever that he wants to be a Celtic forever. I believe that he wants to be a Celtic if it's on his terms. If Jason Tatum is the face of the franchise going forward, which he isn't going to be with Kyrie Irving. And I get him and Kyrie are friends and all that. But I look at Jason Tatum. You think about this guy. He is lying right there. Now, he's doing the right thing from a PR perspective, but he did the wrong thing when he let it leak out of his camp that he would like to be the face of the Pelicans or the face of another organization. Don't let that leak out there. He's doing the right thing where he says, I want to be a Celtic forever and play my whole career here, right? That's the right thing to do from a PR perspective. But after the report that leaked out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, does anybody believe Jason Tatum? Because I certainly don't. And I don't really blame Jason Tatum. I look at Tatum. This is a guy that averaged 18 points per game last season in the postseason, right? Or 18 points per game in the postseason. And he was the Celtics star. Remember, he was going toe-to-toe with LeBron James. He dunked on LeBron. He's talking trash to LeBron. He had some great games against the Cavaliers, getting in LeBron's face. So he had become a star. He had become a marketable item to the Celtics. And you ask anybody after last year, who's the player from that draft you would want? Everybody would say Jason Tatum. Now I just look at it, and he's just a piece to the puzzle after Kyrie Irving. Now, part of this is Brad Stevens' fault because they have never established a hierarchy on this team, a pecking order, if you will, after Kyrie Irving. It's Kyrie Irving is clearly the best player on the team, and then it's everybody else. Marcus Morris maybe one night. It may be Jason Tatum. It may be Jalen. It may be Marcus Smart. It may be Al Horford. Okay, you could get a bunch of different answers on who's the second best player on this team. But what Brad Stevens needed to do at the beginning of the year was figure out a way to get Jason Tatum more involved in the offense rather than taking the same amount of shots as Marcus Morris does, which ultimately they're around the same amount. Like, there has to be more stuff built into this offense around Jason Tatum because he is a future star in the NBA. At least it looks that way. He's a future star, and Brad Stevens failed to ever, ever assemble some sort of pecking order. And that's the problem with Jaylen Brown, where he just goes in there and he takes all these threes. And it's like, Jaylen, you're shooting like 30% rather from three. At one point, 27% from three. You can't hit anything. Stop taking six a game. Marcus Smart, don't take pull-up threes at the end of the game against the Clippers, right? So he never really established the hierarchy on this team. He doesn't call Jason Tatum's number a lot. So that's part of the issue. But I also look at it, Jason Tatum now, he's looking across the NBA, and De'Aaron Fox from his draft class has now really passed him in terms of the marketability and the star power right now, because I get Jason Tatum's on a higher profile team, but think about it. The Sacramento Kings right now are in a position where they could get the 8th seed in the Western Conference, and the engine behind that team is De'Aaron Fox. And if you said before the season, who would you rather have, Jason Tatum or De'Aaron Fox, it was clearly Jason Tatum. But now De'Aaron Fox is the star of the Sacramento Kings. Even though it's in Sacramento, he's become a story in the NBA. You look at somebody along the lines of Donovan Mitchell, who him and Jason Tatum both had good rookie seasons. And then Donovan Mitchell, now this is his team in Utah, right? He's the number one guy. He's the number one option. You look at a rookie like Luka Doncic, and I get it's not a playoff team, but he's clearly the number one guy when you're looking at things in Dallas. So these three guys, young guys in the league, have now passed Jason Tatum, where they're the star players. And Jason Tatum's sitting back, and he's just another piece to the Celtics puzzle. That has to irritate Jason Tatum. So that's why I look at it from Jason Tatum's perspective, and I don't believe a word he's saying when he says, I want to be a Celtic for the rest of my career. Yeah, I believe that you want to be a Celtic for the rest of your career if it's on your terms. If you, in fact, are actually going to be the guy that's the star player going forward. I don't believe that you want to be the backseat driver, if you will, to Kyrie Irving, or really a passenger on Kyrie Irving's ride. I believe you want to be the star somewhere else. So I believe it's on your terms because of that report that leaked out. So I don't believe Jason Tatum whatsoever when he says, I want to be a Celtic forever. None of these guys want to stay with one team forever. They're all moving around now. Let's get to Mike in North Providence tonight. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, first, let me just say I'm agreeing mostly with what you're saying. You do need to learn how to, like, check out the splits as far as the stats go. Like, you know, Brown has been shooting 48% from the field and 36% from three since the beginning of December. I'm talking about December 1st.
Yeah, he had a real bad start. He went to the bench. Yeah, I get all this. He's been playing a lot better, and I really liked him the other night in that Pistons game where his numbers weren't great, but I really liked the energy that he brought in that game. I mean, he was playing with a lot of energy, and I don't see that all the time, Mike, from Jaylen Brown. But I think, you know, part of that is he's confused with his role, and he went to the bench.
Exactly. You know, I've been harping on this for the last couple months that there is no pecking order. And I'm a big believer that usage dictates performance. And like you were talking about, just say for Jason Tatum, I'm 100% behind you about Jason Tatum. To me, he should be the clear number two option on this team. One of the things that is falling through the cracks here is that both Tatum and Brown basically were scoring like Paul Pierce in his prime from like the 2008 team on, where they had to kind of share the ball. I mean, I'm not kidding either. If you look at, say, take look at Brown, Tatum's numbers. He's about 18.5 with a 57, well, almost 58% true shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. That's like pure Paul Pierce right there. Brown in his healthy starts, where you have to remember he had to come off the bench for a little bit. That cut his numbers down, and he came out very early in a game. He scored 2 points and got hurt. In the healthy starts, he was scoring over 20 points a game, and that was like in 14 games. That's not in two games. So both of those guys, despite the fact that they were babies out there in the playoffs, performed like literally was scoring like a Hall of Famer in his prime did for us. They weren't as good as he was all around, but when it came to scoring efficiency and production, they basically played like Paul Pierce, and somehow this has been forgotten. And they have to share the stage with somebody like Marcus Morris.
Right.
Like, everybody gets the same number of shots, and that doesn't even include somebody like Hayward, who's taking like 9 shots a game. How is he supposed to get involved?
Right, and the other thing, Mike, is look at it from Jaylen Brown's perspective, right? I'm going through these struggles, and I get Hayward went to the bench too, but I'm still playing the same amount of minutes as Gordon Hayward, who struggled way more than I did. I did way more for this team in the postseason. Of course, Gordon Hayward wasn't there, and Gordon Hayward, the teacher's pet, gets to keep playing these major minutes, and Jaylen Brown is the one that has to take the back seat. Jason Tatum is now taking a back seat, and that's something that Brad Stevens needed to do at the beginning of the season, is establish that hierarchy, like I said, establish a number two guy on this team, because Marcus Morris is not part of the future, and Marcus Morris in the postseason, I'm sorry, I get he had some good moments last year, he's not going to be the second best player on a team that wins a championship.
He was awful in the postseason last year.
Look,
I mean, really, really bad.
So your best option was to get, Mike, to get Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or one of these other guys going, not to, okay, Marcus Morris is having a good shooting start to the season. That's great. I mean, that's all gravy and whatnot. But what's more important is the progress of somebody along the lines of Jason Tatum. And I would also look at it as Kyrie Irving, when we look at this, Mike, he's always knocking the young guys, right? We've seen it multiple times. And it's like these guys have never done anything. At the same time, it's like, Kyrie, I get you've won your ring that you constantly remind of us, but remember this. We went to the Eastern Conference Finals in a game 7 without you. It's like he makes it out like they've never done anything. They went pretty far without the guy. They were 1 win away from the finals without him.
I want to thank you. You are finally somebody who's actually saying what needs to be said, right? Because somehow Brad Stevens has just been skating along out here. It's as if people can't even entertain the idea that he might not be doing the right thing. You know, Bill Belichick, second and third guess him all day long, despite the fact he took his team to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them. Brad, who's done absolutely nothing, evidently cannot fail and cannot make a mistake. This is a mistake. If you look at the last 20 years of the NBA championship teams, they consolidate their shots. They operate their offense for their best players. There is a clear pecking order. All you need to do is just look at the Warriors and how they've operated ever since Steve Kerr took over. It is very structured, and it's like Phil Jackson, and it's like Rick Popovich, because he played for them, and he understands that.
Yeah, Mike, I really appreciate the call. If you want to grab his line, it's open, 617-779-7937. Great stuff there. Yeah, Brad Stevens is somebody that has skated along. I think finally he is starting to get some of the blame now, but he deserves to get more of the blame. And this thing is not getting fixed. That's why I'm so irritated with Kyrie Irving. Get on the court so we can try to get this offense figured out with Tatum and with Jaylen Brown and whatnot. And at some point, is Jaylen Brown going to go back in the starting lineup? These are all things that you have to try to fix before you get to the postseason. All right, a lot more to get into. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI. All right, the Celtics, man, they just get more annoying by the day. I'm glad Kyrie Irving, after a knee injury that he couldn't play the past 2 games, he was good enough to play 25 minutes with his friends the other night. Glad you were able to do that, Kyrie. We're all glad you got to play in the All-Star game. But I was talking about Jason Tatum and how he had a bad All-Star weekend. Now, of course, he won that skills competition, which congratulations, Jason, on winning the skills competition. Great. Great achievement. I'm sure it's one of your career milestones. Here's when you know this isn't important. Can you name one other guy that's ever won the skill competition? I can't. I can't tell you somebody else that's won that stupid thing. I really can't. I could take some guesses. Deron Williams, maybe. Steph Curry, maybe. That thing is dumb, okay? That thing is stupid, and it's luck. Jason Tatum hit a half-court shot off the backboard to win it. Who really cares about that thing? But after that, Rachel Nichols was saying, hey, you won this. Do you want to basically guarantee or anything else? He was kind of prodded in that direction, if you will. This is what he said, quote, we're going to win the finals this year. February 16th, mark it. Jason Tatum said, we're going to win the finals this year. That's what Jason Tatum said after this. Listen, Jason, we're in a situation where the Celtics right now, your team is in fourth. You guys have underachieved. Why are you making guarantees about the finals right now? Now, I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, bulletin board material for the Sixers or the Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks. But why do you say stupid things like that the way your team is playing? Right? Do you look like you're in any way, shape, or form going to get to an NBA Finals against the Warriors and could even compete against them right now? Okay, we thought before the season, maybe there's a shot you could compete against the Warriors. We thought you could get out of the East. Right now, you look like the third best team in the conference because you own Philly. For whatever reason, you own Philly. I don't believe in the Pacers because of the Oladipo injury. And Milwaukee and Toronto are clearly better than you right now. Okay, so you're in a situation where you've classically underachieved and you're out there saying stuff like this. Jaylen Brown, before the season, is out here saying that by the time he's 28, he's going to have 5 championship rings. Okay? I just don't understand why these guys are so arrogant. I really don't understand it. I don't see a lot of other teams making comments like this all the time. And that's something that has happened within the team dynamic. This is the coach that needs to step up and say, hey, guys, let's not say all this stuff. Or whether it's Danny Ainge, somebody has to step up within that organization and say, hey, guys, let's not say stupid things. And I'm not saying it's the end of the world that Jason Tatum makes this comment, but why are you making this comment when you're a team that has really massively underachieved based on the preseason expectations? You're going out there after you win the skills competition. You're so happy that you won the skills competition. Is that what's going to catapult you guys into the second half of the season? It's going to catapult you into the second half of the season. Yeah, I just won the skills, man. I beat Trae Young in the skills competition. This is really going to get us going in the second half of the season. This is the spark that we needed. You know what else we needed? We needed Kyrie Irving to play his 25 minutes in the All-Star game to really give this team a jolt, to really get this team going. Like, come on, man. Guaranteeing that this team's going to win a championship now? That you say, oh, February 16th, mark it down. Okay, we'll mark it down, Jason. You don't look like you're anywhere near the Warriors right now, and I get you played them tough in one game. You don't look like you can beat the Raptors in a series. You don't look like you can beat the Milwaukee Bucks in a series, but you're content on going out there and saying, hey, mark it down right now. Like, why does this team have the loosest lips in the NBA? Why do they have all this drama? This is the problem that I have with Brad Stevens, that all these guys just feel like it's okay for them to come out and make comments like this. Kyrie feels like it's okay with him to just continually call guys out, to call out the younger guys, and there's no repercussions for his actions because, you know what? They have to suck up to Kyrie Irving because they need him to get Anthony Davis. So if down the road they want to be a championship team, if they think the quickest way would be to trade for Davis and sign Kyrie, they just suck up to Kyrie. So Kyrie can say whatever he wants because Kyrie Irving right now is flexing his muscles. He owns the power in the organization, so he says whatever he wants. And then the young guys, because now they see that Kyrie Irving is going to be saying whatever he wants, the young guys are now going to say whatever they want. That means Jaylen Brown before the season. Okay, when I get it, you guys had a nice playoff run, but talking about winning 5 championships by the time you're 28, like Kevin Durant is one of the best players in the world. The guy has 3 championship rings. Okay, Dwayne Wade is going to retire with 3 championship rings. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You had a couple nice series, and you're saying you're going to have 5 championship rings by the time you're 28. And now I get it. You've picked it up. You have picked it up. You've played much better. I love the way Jaylen Brown has played as of late. But remember, this is the guy that after he made that comment started the season off in an awful fashion. Could not shoot the ball whatsoever. And again, we have Jason Tatum now at the All-Star break. Another guy that wants to come out and wants to make comments about saying that this team is going to win a championship. It's just always something with this team. Why do the Celtics have to lead the NBA in drama? And the only thing that makes sense to me is that because the leader of this team, if you will, the star of this team, if you will, is Kyrie Irving. And the young guys are following their leader. Kyrie Irving creates drama, it seems, each and every week. He likes to do this. He likes to stir up the pot, just like when he said, talk to me on July 1st about free agency. He likes to do this stuff all the time with this team. He likes to call out the younger guys. That now the younger guys on the team are taking a page out of their leader's book, and they're saying, hey, you know what? You know what's going on right now? I'm going to say whatever I want because apparently Kyrie can say whatever he wants. Nobody gets mad at Kyrie when he mouths off about the team. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to guarantee a championship. Great. Just could you have a little more self-awareness if you're Jason Tatum? You guys stink right now in terms of what we thought in the beginning of the season. Okay? You're 4th in the Eastern Conference. You were supposed to be 1st. You've massively underachieved. Have some self-awareness about the situation that this team is in right now. You're underachievers right now. You're not guys that should be guaranteeing championships. All right, a lot more to get into, including the Chris Sale contract situation, Rob Gronkowski possibly thinking about retirement, and Manny Machado got a 10-year contract worth $300 million. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.